listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Outside the Cage. I am back with Alan, first time in a while. Welcome to the Radio Free Cybertron Network. First show back with Alan. We did do a show about a week ago, the death of Randy Savage. Sad day for wrestling fans.
I know, I was torn up.
Poor Alan. Couldn't console him. We had to leave him off the show just for that reason.
Yes, I was crying. Could not stop.
You at least have heard of Randy Savage, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, he did the Slim Jims commercial.
Okay. Not a complete blank to you in terms of pro wrestling there.
I'll be just as sad when the Burger King or Ronald McDonald die.
At any rate, yes, there's actually been two major cards. We're going to talk about the two major cards. We're going to talk about the most recent for the most part. But I'll touch a little bit on 129. Alan's wonderful memory has pretty much forgotten all of it, but...
Yes.
Going way back to April 30th, which is about a month ago. Big card over in Canada. The biggest crowd in North American history for MMA. Was that Montreal? Or was that Toronto. Yeah, 55,000 people. Largest North American crowd in MMA. Kind of, so... an achievement, at least.
That's a big crowd.
Where do you see that could be beat in North America? If you had to guess.
Say what?
Where could you see that card being beat in North America, like a larger crowd?
New York City, if they ever managed to get it regulated there.
Like Yankee Stadium or something?
I don't know. How big is Madison Square Garden?
Madison Square is small. It's like 20,000.
Oh. Okay. Surely there's something in New York City that's big enough to hold that many people.
I think Yankee Stadium. But Madison Square Garden is more about the prestige of the place, not the size of the venue.
Right.
It's how you use it. It's not the size, so I've been told.
Of course, Yankee Stadium has the whole, I assume it's uncovered, open air.
I'm not a gigantic baseball fan. I'm pretty sure it's not covered, but someone can correct me on that. Kilby wants to jump in there and actually look it up. I'd appreciate it. But anyway, going back just a little bit, we saw the retirement match of Randy Couture against Lyoto Machida, and Randy got retired.
He got retired right to the face. Very, very impressive kick by Machida. Right in the footsteps of Anderson Silva doing the same thing to Belfort. Just a front kick right to the face and knocked Randy down and out.
Knocked out a tooth.
Yeah.
Funny, Joe asked him, he's like, so are you retired? He's like, oh yeah, I'm done.
Although I have to say, there is one more fight that I want to see, and it's now a possibility if they would decide to put it together, and that's Randy versus Fedor.
Yeah, not going to happen. As we're seeing with the Strikeforce contracts, definitely, even ones that would make the most sense are not transferring over. Going back to the winner of our main event, looks like him and Diaz aren't happening, mostly because of Showtime. So.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, on that same tip, I could see him just putting Randy on a Strikeforce card.
That's what I was thinking of doing it, to do a one-fight deal with Randy on a Strikeforce card. I mean, obviously the fight doesn't have any... real bearing as far as any title implications or anything, because both fighters are pretty much over the hill, but it'd still be a fight I'd like to see nonetheless.
I would, but I haven't heard anyone talking in that direction. I don't know if anyone's even thought of that direction, but especially, you know, Randy has, you know, he's done, so
mm-hmm.
he did that before the fight, win or lose. But I could, if someone brought it up, I could see Randy being interested. Just,
yeah.
A Legends fight, you know. Which makes it sound bad because, you know, it's like Fedor's completely washed up over the hill, right? Fedor's not that damn old, you know. He's on the downswing of his career, but he's not fully out of it.
So. Right. I mean, he has lost two in a row since basically going undefeated his whole career, so.
Yeah, it's not terrible. And the thing is, you know, especially for UFC buying Strikeforce, showing some goodwill to Showtime is like, hey, how about we put this fight on your Showtime card?
Right.
Fedor. I'm sure that would foster a lot of more working together with them. But,
yeah.
That's just us. You say you don't remember the Jose Aldo Mark Hominick fight?
I know Aldo won, but he faded towards the end of the fight.
It was a down, dirty fight. War. It was a fun fight. Jose won. It was the toughest test of his career, but also I think Jose didn't look his best either.
Wasn't he sick or injured or something?
Probably sick. He might have had the same flu that Roy Nelson had. It's kind of a month later. And, of course, the defending welterweight champion, George St. Pierre, beat Jake Shields again, and not looking as dominant as people thought. George actually finally lost some rounds on some judges' cards for the first time in many, many fights. I think he lost round 5 on a couple on a judge's card and lost round 4 on 2 judges' cards, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But overwhelmingly still won the fight, I think. He went in with a weird game plan. Was scared to go to the ground with Jake Shields. I don't know why he was that worried about his jiu-jitsu. But regardless, you know, after the second round, apparently he was blind in one eye from a punch. Really kind of hurt any kind of offense he had other than just trying to stay ahead. The funniest part of that fight was you know, a couple times the camera caught him saying in between rounds, "I can't see, I can't see," and Greg Jackson just pretty much telling him, "Well, I don't care." Like, I think he did exactly say, "I don't care, just go out and fight." Looking out for the safety of his fighter, but in reality, you know, if he had said that in front of a doctor, they would have stopped the fight and he would have lost the title, so.
Yeah.
Greg Jackson was probably the smart man in that position, but it looks pretty callous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Just go out there and fight.
And nonetheless, he won. So.
He did. It wasn't. I mean, George is still on this big streak of being dominant, but not finishing or having, you know, a super, super exciting finish anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's he going to do?
I don't find him to be a boring fighter personally. I mean, he might not be a finisher, but he is active and pretty much generally pretty well dominates the fights.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's fighting top-level competition. The biggest criticism you have against him is maybe the Dan Hardy fight. You know, that kid I don't think was, and compared to a Jake Shields or a Fitch or any of these guys. He should have finished Hardy at some point.
So. Yeah, but on the same note, he did get Hardy in a Kimura that looked like it should have ripped his arm off? Was it an arm bar?
Both. He had been two different times. He had an arm bar and a Kimura on him that should have ripped his arm off, but apparently he's very flexible.
He just didn't tap, so it's not for lack of trying that GSP didn't finish.
So we got to wait for his next... Next opponent might be here on the undercard of 130, a one Rick story. before we get to that fight. First, do you see any of the undercard fights?
I did not see the Facebook fights.
I didn't either, other than the one they showed on the paper.
Yeah, what did they do? Spike fights, I did see.
I've yet to watch the Miguel Torres fight. I have it on my computer. I saw the first Spike fight. What's his name? Ultimate Fighter 3 winner.
Tim Boach versus Kendall Grove.
Kendall Grove, Tim Boach. Not an exciting fight. It was okay. It was exactly kind of what I thought it was going to be. Good wrestler there at Kendall Grove. A lot of clinching, a lot of groundwork.
Right.
Kendall being unable to do anything against the wrestler. He lost the decision. He just kind of wins one, loses one. That's just kind of the Kendall way. Don't really know what to do with him. I think, you know, his forward, any kind of upward momentum he might have ever had is just non-existent at this point. He's kind of going to be there. Middle to the low part of the 185 roster.
Hello. Sorry. I'm reading.
Okay.
Please continue.
Nah, that's all I had to say about that.
Okay.
On Mr. Grove.
No, you're right. He's just a... you know, mid-tier, generally puts on a pretty good show when he's not being held down by a wrestler, but, you know, he's not likely to make it in title contention ever, so, but I suppose good enough to keep around to fill out the undercard.
Yeah, I think he'll keep a job. Yeah, people are saying, oh, you know, he's always in danger of being cut. He's an Ultimate Fighter winner, and he's not like he's on like a big losing streak. He's just completely uneven, so.
Right.
You always need a body here and there. Did not see the Miguel Torres fight. Did you see that one?
I did. And... honestly, it did not leave much of an impression. This is why I usually take notes, but I didn't this time. I have no memory.
I heard it was like, it was kind of a runner-up for Fight of the Night. I just haven't got around to watching it, so.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it really was a pretty good fight. Pretty back and forth, but
like a lot of back and forth on the ground, like they were rolling around a bunch.
Right. But Johnson took the decision.
In a fairly close fight, what I'm reading.
Yes.
Okay. That takes us to our main card. Still back to the 185 and a contender. Strong contender now in 185, Brian Stann, the All-American.
Yes. It's funny. This is one of those cases where it basically seems like it was a showcase fight for Brian Stann. The commentators were basically talking about Brian Stann the whole time, and the build-up for the fight was all about Brian Stann. And
they really didn't have a lot of footage of... or Jorge Santiago either, so. He had one fight in UFC, then he was in Japan for 4 years, so.
Ah.
And of course, yeah, it's Memorial Day, and he's a, you know, war hero, ex-Marine, so.
Right. So they play up that angle real hard.
Yeah, but, you know, if, you know, anyone who follows the international MMA scene hardcore, you know, anyone in the know didn't consider Jorge like a can for Brian to beat up. But at the same time, a lot of people did pick Brian, but a lot of people picked Jorge. There was a lot of people who picked him.
Yeah.
But then people are like, you know, leery of anyone who fought in Japan and has success. It's always picking the UFC fighter, which tends to be a good way to pick a fighter. as Dave Meltzer said, it's two different things. You know, Japan MMA and American MMA, just for a variety of reasons. The weight cutting, the weight classes aren't as controlled. How much time you have before a fight is totally different. You know, they get fights on less than a month's notice many times. Casting any aspersions on Jorge, but you know, or anybody else who comes from there, but you know, no drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it makes a difference whether you want to believe it or not.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a different sport over there, and you know, quicker the hardcore community starts picking that up, you know, it really is a different sport. You know, like I've said many times, the Japanese fighters have success in the States. Train over here and train the style, and you know, have. They work for the UFC and they get that time. They're working with the modern techniques and they're the ones that are most successful. The guys that are still doing the Japanese style, or even the foreign fighters who fight in Japan, just aren't as successful in the UFC because it is the higher level than anywhere else in the world right now. That's just the way it is. Brian Stann looked awesome here. He
totally controlled the fight.
He showed a lot of versatility here, too. He was throwing inside leg kicks. He was throwing some elbows. He was feinting a lot of head movement. I mean, you remember when he beat Rhino for the WC title? He was just kind of a straight-ahead brawler.
Right.
Just kind of ran straight through.
Yeah. Dropping down to 185 has obviously been a good move for him, and he's clearly been training technique. And he's looking really good, and he'll probably be headed for a title shot I guess he could be the next one after Okami, but he might need one more good fight before that happens, but...
Or they quit the winner of Bisping Mayhem.
Oh, right.
So if Mayhem win, that'd be a hard one to sell.
Yeah. Well, since you brought that up, it's been announced that Bisping versus Mayhem Miller are the coaches for the next Ultimate Fighter, with the fight being on the finale. Which I thought Mayhem was a pretty interesting choice, since he hasn't fought in the UFC in years and he's just been re-signed. I suppose it's more of an entertainment value thing than
It's not like no one knows who Mayhem is. I mean, he has a TV show.
Yeah, on MTV2, which tens of people watch.
Lots of the youngins watch.
Back in my day, we didn't have young'uns, you know.
You were a young'un back in the day. What are you talking about? Hard to believe, but, you know, I mean, you've always looked like an old man, but at some point you were young. So, I guess you watched CMT or something.
No, we didn't have extended cable, so I was watching... Dick Williams' Magic Land on Channel 5.
Exciting.
Yes.
I had one of those big satellite dishes, like, you know, you could, like, fit a family of four in. Back in Hash Flat, Arkansas. We had the transponder. We had, like, the two boxes. One was the transponder, one was the receiver, you know, way before DirecTV.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have to pay for the signal either.
No, yeah, no, we did. When we first got one, back when I was in, like, middle school, it was all free. Then they went to scramble signals, and we paid the satellite guy to, you know, give us a decoder for $50, and then they started scrambling it every month, so that stopped working, so we had to get a subscription.
Yeah.
Sort of history of satellite. Old school satellite TV.
Sure.
But at any rate, Mayhem's the replacement for Chael, just after his disastrous attempt to get relicensed. So he is still way up in the air. Do not know what's going on with him. he's still viable if UFC decided that Dana said at this press conference he's not going to try to work around the CSAC issue. And, you know, he could probably get him licensed to Texas pretty easy because he's not suspended anymore. It's just just applying for a new license is his issue. So.
Right. But it's politically a bad idea for Dana to work around a commission like that.
Right, yeah, so it was funny. The whole thing of him getting, it was if he could get licensed back in Nevada, because he would have to be licensed there just to coach Ultimate Fighter.
Right.
And, they're not going to play the workaround game in one way or the other. So Chael couldn't get that, he was out, and, I guess, I don't know who else was in line, I guess Lieben was probably up there, and coming off the loss to Stan, that makes sense. I think Stan was up for it, but they didn't want to go in that direction. Stan is way too, honestly, Stan's way too green to be a coach, I think. Not that it stops him anymore. I mean, Santos, Lesnar, too.
Right.
So, what am I talking about? But,
I was just going to say, two coaches with absolutely no chemistry between them.
Yeah, this season's been fucking boring. Other than the last episode, which is pretty awesome, just because they almost had this brawl in the house.
Yeah.
But other than that, the season's been pretty damn just mediocre, It's just surprising you bring in the biggest pay-per-view draw of all time in American history on TV. And it's just been kind of bleh, and the ratings are reflecting that.
Right.
But, it'll be interesting. Chael's talking shit to Mayhem on the Twitters. Mayhem's just fine, but he's already trying to build that fight somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
The pro wrestler worker and Chael always grinding his gears. So, we'll see. But,
I was just thinking that'd be a bad fight for Mayhem because that would be basically repeating Mayhem versus Jake Shields, where he gets crushed by a superior wrestler.
A superior wrestler who's prone to submissions. So. Big difference.
Yeah.
Chael's notoriously easy to catch in submissions. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has to get past Bisping first, and Chael's got to get relicensed. So. As of now, it's just a fun Twitter war.
Right.
Going back to the card, the one guy who's now kind of looking to be maybe a contender against George St. Pierre, Rick Story, beat Thiago Alves pretty damn well.
Yeah. Superior wrestling again. And
it was smart wrestling.
Yeah.
Grinding on him, he was kneeing the legs, he scared him from committing the punches. It was a smart fight. It wasn't a boring wrestling match either. I thought it was a fairly entertaining what it was. Thiago did come back in the third, rocked him really bad, controlled the third, definitely won it, but not enough to win the fight. He lost all three judges, 29-28.
Right.
And on the main card, this was the first card with the monitors. And I heard there was a really shitty decision on the undercard somewhere. But every decision I saw was uniformly what everyone else thought it would be. So.
Right.
Yay, monitors.
So hopefully that'll be a continued improvement.
Every score they read off, I was waiting for the one judge that was like a weird off score, and they were all pretty uniform.
Never happened. Right.
Rick Story, he's kind of a dog wrestler there. He could be a guy. I don't think you'd give him George right away, but he's 6 in a row. He's beat a real top contender in Thiago. Maybe one more fight. He could be up.
Could be.
Our next fight was Travis Brown, Stefan Struve, another Battle of the Giants.
Yeah, I thought it was funny if they just made Steve Mezzagotti look like a midget in the cage.
Yeah, I think Steve Mezzagotti is like 5'10 to 6. He's somewhere between 5'10 and 6 feet tall, which is not short.
Right? He's not short. he looked tiny compared to these two men.
You know, Steven Struve is a legit 6'11 if you follow a pro wrestling. Like myself, anyone who builds himself close to 6'11 is usually about 3 or 4 inches shorter. Steven Struve is like a legitimate actual 6'11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always funny because, like, you can definitely tell him because if you watch him walk into the cage, you know, you see the cage at his shoulder, which I think he's the only fighter who does that. But unfortunately, Travis Brown knocked his ass out. It was a weird, you know, Struve dived in, Brown dived up with a Superman punch, and had this great highlight reel moment where he connected with a punch. It's just not a knockout, but Struve's head, like, bobbed back at such an odd backwards angle and fell to the mat. It was just a great moment of knockout. Me and you have seen, you know, God knows how many knockouts in our day, but that was still kind of a unique, you know, fun knockout just to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Not for Struve, but everyone else involved, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, very, very good fight for Travis Brown. And I don't know, is Struve down 2 in a row now? I don't recall.
He's like, he lost to Roy Nelson, he won a fight, the triangle, and then he lost this one.
Okay, so he's
also 23.
Yeah, I was about to say he's young, he's got a lot of potential, but his record's not looking too good at the moment.
Yeah, you know, let's see, he might have to regroup and find some kind of different kind of training. He also needs to probably fill out, you know, he's very... very skinny, but I mean,
yeah.
6'11", so you might have to figure out some way to add muscle and size, and whatever quickness he has. And obviously, has a length. The second longest, believe it or not, the second longest length in UFC.
Who's the longest?
Johnny Bones.
Oh, that's right.
He is an inch on Stephen Struve.
That's some crazy proportions right there.
That's ridiculous. Speaking of, Brian Sand and George Santiago had exactly the same everything, which I think I've never seen before. I think they were both 30, both 6'1", both 185, both 71-inch reach advantage. Or 71-inch reach. Like they had like exact numbers down the card. It was very funny.
All right.
Moving up, it's Frank Mir, co-main event, Frank Mir, Roy Nelson. I like the fight. Apparently, people do not. I don't. I mean,
I thought it was a good fight. I mean, it was fairly lopsided. Nelson started out doing a pretty good job of holding Mir back without really doing any damage, while Mir was pretty well delivering all the damage. But Nelson at least managed to hold him against the cage and get in a few strikes, a little dirty boxing.
One which broke Mir's jaw.
No. Well, there you go. Go ahead.
Mir dominated and was beating him up, but, you know, and Big Country was gassed out bad.
Yeah.
But he kept fighting. It was, he had that, you know, underdog fire, just kept coming back and coming back, and people just loved him. People got crazy for the guy. I mean, he just looked like, I thought he was going to have a heart attack in there. But, like, you know, every time there was a break, he would throw this wild punch, and he would hit half the time.
Yeah,
Mir's got a decent chin himself, so I knew it was a fun fight just watching, you know, Roy just trying to hanging in there and just, you know, not giving up, I guess.
Yeah.
Fun fight.
Nelson's tough. He's got a lot of heart.
Tough motherfucker, man.
Hard head.
He's only been knocked out once by Andre, yeah.
And just doesn't have the cardio that he needs.
Well, Dana wanted him to, told him that he needs to get down to 140.
140?
Yeah.
How about 240?
He's done the 140. Yeah.
See Roy Nelson fighting at bantamweight. That'd be good.
I don't think it's possible. Joe Rogan kept saying he should go down to 205. I'm like, well, if he goes on to 205, he loses his whole gimmick. That's not going to happen. He should probably lose. Yeah, I can see him losing maybe about 20 pounds of that belly. Probably would.
Yeah. Yeah, he keeps losing and gets kicked out of the UFC. He kind of loses his gimmick, so.
Roy, who the hell wants to watch Roy Nelson skinny? I don't. That's bullshit. He doesn't. He has to lose his theme song, too. I mean, that's crazy. How else are we going to hear Weird Al in the UFC? Come on.
I know. Good point.
And yeah, he is like the people's fighting champion. You know, people just love the dude. You know, but he could lose about 20 pounds of that fat and improve his cardio. And he'd still have a belly.
And yeah,
still work the gimmick. I'm totally fine with it. But you know, it is hurting his game. And you know, he needs a real training camp too. He needs, you know, he's still a guy that doesn't train with anybody. I think he brought in Dan Hardy as his wrestling coach, which you know, just
I think that tells you something.
I think it was a joke, but I'm not sure how much of a joke that was, because Dan Hardy was in his corner. But at the press conference, apparently he was yelling at Dan for being a terrible wrestling coach, which I think was just funny, but at the same time, it's like, well, who was your wrestling coach if it was Dan Hardy? But, you know, Roy's a funny dude, you know, I give him that. I'm just amazed with Mir. You know, he's on a vegan diet, and he was 260. Most of that was muscle. How do you get that big on soy?
I don't know. It's been rumored that it's not just the veggies that he's consuming.
He's not failed the drug test.
That's true. That's all that matters, apparently.
That's all that matters. Until he's up for time. Well, yes, we've discussed this 100 times.
Yeah. So, the main event.
If Frank's doing anything, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
And the main event. Yep. Again, a mediocre fight. I didn't hate it, didn't love it. Glad Rampage won. I think Matt Hamill's overrated. He definitely...
Yeah. Hamill's generally a good wrestler, but he couldn't do a damn thing against Rampage.
He was shut down.
Couldn't take him down.
He was shut down immediately and just had nothing for him.
Yeah. And Rampage basically picked him apart for 3 rounds.
Yeah, he couldn't finish him. I guess he had a fractured hand, too, but, you know, I really thought second round he was going to go out because he got hurt in the first.
Yeah.
He got hurt again at the beginning of the second, but Hamill... Rampage is a bit tentative, but Rampage has a tendency to go headhunting. He did try to mix it up a little bit here. We actually thought, I think, a whole 2 leg kicks from him. I guess showing that he does throw leg kicks. I think he did tell Joe Rogan...
He mentioned that in the post-fight interview. I had to throw in a couple leg kicks so Rogan knows that I know how to throw leg kicks.
Yeah. I was actually thinking that watching the fight. I was like, oh, he's throwing leg kicks just to show people he can throw leg kicks. He did throw a couple of really good elbows, though. He should really definitely try for more elbows, because the couple he threw were pretty damn good. So I was like, that's good. Head kicks, probably not going to be working, but... it was pretty much what everyone thought. You know, Hamill's not in Rampage's league. But Rampage, again, didn't look spectacular. A guy he probably should have killed. But yeah. Hamill's also a tough bastard.
Right.
He's a guy who can get hit in the head a lot. You know, he survived Johnny Bones for hell, you know, technically has a win over him. Whatever we make of that, but yeah, I don't hear Hamill clamoring like, hey, I beat the champ, I should fight him again. I've yet to hear that from him.
I'm pretty sure he said the opposite, that he knows that he lost that fight.
I was just surprised, like, his win, like, I think it was, like, 11-2 going into this. I was like, he's only lost two? Seems ridiculous. Like, I mean, he lost to Rich Franklin and which will be Bisping and Franklin, and he should have won the Bisping fight.
Yeah.
But then again, he should have lost the Jones fight, so I guess, either way.
That evens out.
It evens out. But yeah, you don't hear Hamill clamoring to fight the champ because he had a win over him. He's not stupid. He has a movie coming out, apparently.
I was going to say, in Rampage's post-fight interview, he said, you know, how do you feel, Rogan asked him, how do you feel about your performance in this fight, and he said something like, on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 4 or a 5, something like that. I think that's almost exactly the same thing he said after he beat Machida.
Yeah, well, and he changed his mind after the Machida fight because he was coming off getting his ass kicked in the third round and thought he lost the fight and was saying as much, like, you know, he felt bad for Machida. He thought, like, you know, he was being magnanimous.
Magnanimous?
Magnanimous, yes.
And close enough.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I thought I lost the fight, and I felt bad for the guy. You know, we should rematch, because, you know. And then he rewatched the fight. He's like, oh, wait, no, I did win that fight. What the hell am I talking about? So, Mirabeau is an emotional guy. He'll talk off his sleeve, and he's just this kind of guy he is. But he hasn't looked great, you know, the last three fights. He lost to Rashad, and I still think he can beat Rashad when he's in shape.
Yeah.
The only thing Rashad had going for him was Rampage was out of shape and slow, and you could catch him with his wrestling. And, you know, this Rampage, I don't think Rashad could take him down. I think that would just be a whole game changer right there.
Yeah.
But it's all, you know, Rampage is just a difficult character. It's his mindset. He thinks differently than a lot of fighters. That's all he's got.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes him a different person. But, I mean, Johnny Bones seems to think that's the next fight. It's Rampage and Johnny Bones.
Yeah.
Which I think, I'm more interested in Rashad. I think that, but I don't know about Rampage's chances, but I think he has a better chance than Rashad.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure. At this point, Jones looks pretty much unbeatable.
So did Leota.
I don't know. I never really got quite the same impression from Leota as I did from Jones. But, I mean, Leota won consistently, but he never really looked completely dominant.
Yeah, that's different.
You know what I mean?
Well, Leota won a lot of decisions. And he did not got the champ to win the title, and he won.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jones has just been completely, you know,
he's destroyed everyone completely.
Yeah, the only decision he had was against Stephen Bonner, who's just, again, another. I don't think Stephen Bonner's ever been stopped. He's a ridiculously tough dude.
Yeah.
So, and that was, like, really, really early. That was, like, a second or third fight, too, so. He just gets, you know, and then he destroyed Shogun in two rounds. I mean, but, you know, Motivator Rampage, I think, is interesting. Because Rampage is the one guy I think he can't wrestle with. Rampage seems to just be able to be, for the most part, a wrestler's kryptonite. Other than, I mean, the Scott and the Rashad fight were, I just think Rampage was just not in good, you know, just he cut way too much weight. He came in that camp horribly fat off the movie.
Right.
You know, he looked sluggish, but he still got a third round knockdown. He almost finished the fight with, so.
Yeah.
But, I obviously I'd love that fight. Oh my god, that'd be awesome. But, we'll see. Any other MMA news? Tito and Jen are fighting on Twitter.
Hooray! No. No, I have nothing else.
I think the next round of the Strike Force heavyweight tournament is coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, that soon?
That soon. They shit, the first round, the first bracket was like a year ago almost. They lost so much momentum on this friggin' tournament. It's like, they had so much momentum coming off that first bracket and then like nothing. And I don't know. I'm still interested in seeing it, but I don't know. Dana said no. I was like a little earlier. Dana said no to GSP and Diaz.
Yeah. Dana said no to it?
Yeah, and apparently it's coming from Showtime. Showtime's balking at losing Diaz to even one fight for UFC, which is stupid. But they're kind of being careful with Showtime.
Yeah. Well, even if... Well, it wouldn't necessarily be one fight. I mean, if Diaz actually won the title, then...
Well, yeah, then, well, he had two titles. That's the thing. Like,
would he be going back and forth?
Yeah, well, will GSP go defend the Strikeforce title?
Yeah.
No. No, he wouldn't. No. I can see him putting on a fight on Showtime just to still have a fight on Showtime, but I don't know.
Mm. I don't know. This deal with UFC owning Strikeforce is going to be interesting for a while, just seeing how the two mesh. It's obviously still pretty early in that relationship, but as far as sharing fighters and... You know, when you've got two titles at the same weight class under the same banner, how much do the titles really mean? I mean...
But they're controlled by two different television companies, essentially. Yes,
right.
Spike and Showtime. Spike doesn't...
Right.
And I guess Versus isn't there. Versus doesn't really have to say. But Showtime does, apparently. They have a lot, you know, before the merger, Showtime had a lot of control over all that.
Right.
Stuff, so, if it was more of a Versus situation, I would say, yeah, they would just say go ahead and do Diaz. But they're walking, you know, partially contracts and partially, I think UFC does is really looking to get in good with Showtime. I think they're looking for that to be a long term deal past whenever Strikeforce
right.
UFC become one brand, which they eventually will.
And, well, yeah, right now it's looking like basically the early days of when Zuffa bought WEC. You've got duplicate weight classes and, you know, of course, eventually they shrunk the WEC down to just the lighter weight classes, so there was only one overlap. But that took a while. And they can't, now that they've rolled those weight classes into the... UFC, they can't really play that same game again.
Women's division.
That's true. For what little women's division there is.
Yeah, and that's what Dana said. It's like, he's softened his stance on women's. It's like, no, I've actually at this point would like women's fighting, but there's just no depth. And
right.
You're absolutely right, there is no depth. But, yeah, right.
So he suggests. You're suggesting that Strikeforce is eventually going to become an all-women's organization?
I think at the end of the day, the one thing that will survive from Strikeforce is the Challenger Series, which probably will eventually turn into the UFC Challenger Series.
Yeah.
But yeah, they will, I think in a couple, if, you know, at the latest, probably, maybe, you know, might be sooner. In 2 years, you're going to see UFC on Showtime doing... taking those spots, you'll see the challenge. I think they'll keep the name. There'll be the Challenger Series. There'll be the, you know, they'll be running like one card a month of like really low level up-and-coming MMA fighters.
Right.
And that might be where they keep women's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that's kind of where they'll be.
So I wonder, any idea how, when the...
Like say, and once a year, they'll throw Showtime a big UFC card on their
Yeah. any idea when the Strike Force Showtime contract is up for renegotiation?
I think it's like late 2012, so.
Oh, okay. So, at that point, we'll probably start seeing some more significant changes.
This is how I'm thinking how it's probably going to work out after everything's said and done.
Right.
They'll keep, they'll probably drop Versus at some point. If they have Showtime and Spike, they'll probably drop Versus because it's a weaker channel.
Yeah.
And, especially if they ever get in with, since Showtime is owned by Viacom, which owns CBS, they finally get back, they get back on CBS. You know. They might even drop Spike at some point. Always possible.
Yeah.
I don't see it in the future, Spikes. Spike and UFC have too much invested in each other right now.
Right.
But you can start looking at, you know, same thing going on Spike. You'll see some Showtime cards. They'll drop you versus, and like once a year, UFC will throw Showtime a major main event card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
possible.
Yeah. It's a fair deal. Yeah, all the titles will be, you know, combined one way or the other.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we've got just the awkwardness of having duplicate titles.
Right. But again, like I said, they'll have the Challenger Series. You know, people are worried about the women's division disappearing.
Yeah.
That's a way for them to keep, you know, even though they'll probably never be on pay-per-view or the main UFC cards. They'll keep women fighting, but it'll be on the channel. It'll be on like UFC Challengers or whatever they end up calling it.
Right.
But that's a while down the road. Nothing else. I mean, Japan's about dead.
There was a Dream card this weekend, but it's not going to air anywhere for a few days.
I don't have ACNet, so I watch Dream and forever. I download a Dream fight here and there just when they're like really exciting.
Yeah,
like Mitsugaki, Aoki, Melendez, or somebody.
Yeah, but the card didn't air live in Japan. It didn't air live in the United States either. It's going to be tape delayed both places. So
exciting.
Yes. So I guess that's a good indication of the state of Dream right now. But hey, at least they put on a card. It's been a while.
Yeah, that's a shame. But we'll see. Oh, talk a little bit. What's going on with the Brazilian card? Speaking of international MMA, UFC's finally moving into Brazil. That card's shaping up.
Yeah, a lot of Brazilians on it.
Shocking. I wasn't expecting that. I figured it'd be all Mexicans. So what's the main event on? And they're trying to get Hoyt and Gracie for a fight, and they haven't got a point.
That's the Okami versus
Okami versus Silva's main event. No, Gary's fighting somebody on it, but Vanderlei's not fighting. He's fighting before that, correct?
I don't know.
I don't think he's fighting on that. I think he's fighting somebody else. Who's he fighting? Shit. Oh, Levin. He's fighting Levin.
Ah.
I don't think that's in Brazil, though. Maybe it is. But, yeah, there's like 100 million Brazilians in that card. Anyway, I think that's about it for this update. This is recording this the week before BotCon. We're both leaving in a couple days for the big event. Probably not be... I think there is a...
The Ultimate Fighter finale is next weekend.
Well, we will not be watching that, probably.
No.
At least not live.
You'll be watching that a couple days later.
Are you going to the Hall of Fame?
I am not.
Oh, well, maybe we can. I'm going to, you saw my message, Sunset Strip, Saturday night?
Yeah, sure.
You down?
Why not?
Yeah, maybe we can catch you on the Sunset Strip. You and Lil Rob.
Yeah. I'm sure there will be a few other people who are bypassing the Hall of Fame thing.
Well, we can go to the Rainbow Room, watch Lemmy from Motorhead, and have some whiskey. Always fun.
Okay.
Anyhow. All right, I think I'll do it for us here at Outside the Cage on Radio Free Cybertron. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.